You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, as you always are on Tuesdays here, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and of course, wherever you are around the world in your time zone on the WWW. Welcome, everybody. As I put out in social media today, I'm talking about an extraordinary experience, and I'm talking about true love, and my special guest will enlighten you as to what that really means, and he's also talking about his story of true love in living color, his latest book. And I'm telling you, I've had Mike Murphy on the show before. He created, there he is,
Hello.
Frequency. And we talked about his book. He is a master manifester and has helped hundreds of thousands of people with their lives in so many ways. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the couch.
Thank you, Michelle. Great to be here with you.
Oh, it's great to have you as always. Welcome back. And this is telling my listeners today, you know, they're really going to understand, you know, a true love story. When I put it out there on my social media, a lot of people said, well, what do you mean? True love? What's true love? You know, I always get these emails from all of my listeners and viewers and stuff. But your story is incredible. And like I said, you've seen and heard Mike before. It's been several years here. Talking about his book, The Creation Frequency. And today we're talking about his latest book. It's called In Living Color, A Love Story in Sickness and in Health. It is a riveting book. And I was just, once I started reading it, it's a real page turner. I was just like, oh God, what happened next? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going through this. So, welcome. And let me give you a proper intro here. So, everybody will understand a little bit more and they'll go, oh yeah, I remember Mike. He was on the show before. Of course, you're a best-selling author, speaker, coach, and consultant. And Mike's committed to helping people around the world manifest the dreams that they'd always like to have. He's also the author of The Creation Frequency, as I mentioned. He was talking about that. And he works and has worked for so many years with the law of attraction and manifesting what you want in your life. And Mike has also manifested multiple businesses, generated millions of dollars. And I think the most important thing, which he'll agree, is helping so many people live healthier and better lives. He's devoted in loving contribution to serving not only those who are struggling with illness, addiction. He's also the founder of the Love from Margot Foundation. It has helped hundreds of women coping with cancer. So today we're talking about his book. And it's a riveting story. And I really mean that. Everybody who is a critic, if they really love a book, they said it's a riveting story. But it really is. And here it is, guys. I always try to work on the glare. There we go. Beautiful story. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
first of all, when I received the book, I went, oh, okay, another love story. Okay, this is great. I love these things. But it's not just another sentimental memorial to a deceased loved one. It's much more than that. So, Mike, if you could just briefly describe what your book is, that would.
Well, thank you for every kind word you said there. It's a page turner, and I hope it's quite inspirational, because the woman that the book is about, my late wife Margot, was truly inspirational to me. Oh. And this was a woman that was diagnosed at age 29 with stage 3 breast cancer. And wow. At that time, we were just boyfriend and girlfriend, and we took it was quite a struggle to get to that point. and then we eventually got married. And then the opening scene of the chapter of the book starts November 29, 2010. The doctor said, Margo, unfortunately, the cancer has spread to the lining of your brain.
Oh my gosh.
You do nothing. You have 6 weeks to live. And if you treat it, you have 6 months. And Living in Color focuses on those 6 months with flashbacks into our love story. And
wow.
And she was, imagine this, every day She would wake up, stare death in the face, go through these god-awful medical procedures to fight to save her life, and every night prepare to die. The dichotomy of that. And so I was blessed to be a witness to this. And, you know, I thought after she was died, I was so devastated by grief. I didn't think I'd ever visit this subject for many, many years. And there I was sitting at home one morning. I go, man, I have to tell the world about this amazing person. And I just started writing that book. And ironically, I published two before this one got published. This has been finished since 2016. And so why is it being published now? I think two reasons. One, I don't think I was really ready to go out and talk about it. And two, look at the world today.
We're all waking
up with staring fear in the face every day, right? And I hope people will read it and realize, I have a choice, fear or love. And Margot chose love every day. And I was just witness.
Oh, that's beautiful. And, you both were so blessed. And you and I believe in the universal law of attraction. So, you were so blessed to have come together and meet each other and share that love. So lucky for you. And, also we'll be talking about how, you have learned, and as have I, through so many experiences, that death is not the death. It is not what we think.
Exactly right.
Something much more than that. And, through a lot of people who I've interviewed and, presented information from spiritual leaders to people who do past life hypnosis regression. Dolores Cannon wrote 20 books on It's Not the End, kind of thing. All these people you and I have, witnessed. We can talk about that a little bit more, but I want to get into, your book and the story about the true love and you guys sort of found each other and how that unfolded in your journey.
Well, I was sitting in there in my car dealership, Chevrolet dealership that I owned, and this two women walked in to sell me advertising on Telemundo, Hispanic television station. And the moment that my eyes connected with Margot, there was an instantaneous surge of energy like I never felt before.
Wow.
And this like I'd known this soul for many, many years, decades, centuries. But she'd been married, the day she walked in my office, she'd been married 2 months. I'd married my first wife twice. I had four kids. I'm living in a $4 million house. I am the last guy on planet Earth to ever want to get divorced.
Right.
Wasn't even in my, couldn't even imagine it. And so we worked together for 7 months. And I was falling in love with her and she didn't know it. She was falling in love with me. I didn't know it. One day we compared notes and we started a relationship. And we thought we were so smart that we could find a way to be together and not hurt our spouses.
Right.
And that's impossible.
No.
So if I have one regret, it's that we didn't tell the truth when we separated, which we did immediately.
Sure.
But we lied about why we were separating. And then 6 months after that, her husband found out. 3 months after that, my wife found out. And then a month after that, I find a stage 3 golf ball sized tumor in her breast. And game was on.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
It was brutal.
Oh, it was brutal. Exactly. So how did she approach this particular diagnosis? How was she responding when she first found out?
Man, I have to tell you, there's a picture in the book of her first time losing her hair and with a big smile on her face. I've never met anyone. She never once asked why.
Yeah.
She never once complained. And she just lived her life. And, the reason it's called Living in Color, because she had made a decision, and that's why we ended up together. She says, I don't want to live in black and white. You make me see the world in color and let's go. And what a gift for me, because I wasn't nearly as evolved or as advanced as her. Even she was 15 years younger. She had a depth to her that was so profound and taught me so much. And then since she's left, the experiences that I've had as a result of her, and you wouldn't wish this on your worst enemy, but you couldn't find a person more grateful than me for all the blessings I've received through this.
Oh, that's amazing the way that you look at it. And, it is a real journey, and it does tend to cause you to really examine yourself. And so I wanted to ask you, how did her diagnosis and her fight with breast cancer really change your relationship and change her and you as individuals?
Well, there were so many facets to that. You know, number one is, you know, we didn't know. I mean, I'm just a car guy and she's a salesperson, and here we are. And, you know, I buy all these books, of course, and we're going to figure this out. But like I said, we were married to other people at the time. And, you know, we were just boyfriend, girlfriend. And so I wasn't even invited to when she went to the Stanford oncology meeting with 300 doctors. And the big conversation was, hey, you're so young. Should we wait and freeze eggs? Or should we start chemo right away? And so, of course, they started chemo.
Right.
They can't wait to get you in the system. And so we went through that. We learned a lot through that. And then, of course, it came back. And so then we looked at alternative medicine and alternative clinics, and we went that route. I think we panicked too quickly and probably did some harm there. But I learned so much about this thing called cancer and cancer treatment. You know, I really have a conflict. What's worse, cancer or cancer treatment? Having done this, and then after the foundation, face to face with 200 women going through the same thing, and the pattern is very obvious that it doesn't work very well. And so as a result, you know, I'm trying to find a more natural way to help people now. But it was just, I got to tell you, there's so many, you're throwing so many curveballs, you know, and especially the last 6 months. Fluid, put a syringe in the back, drain them, brain surgery, literally leaving the hospital, having a grand mal seizure, being rushed back in. I could go on and on and on. And it's so bizarre. It's really hard to explain.
You know, this is a difficult question, but you are a proponent and have been for over 30 years of principles of the law of attraction, and you lived those principles even prior to when you and I were really getting into the story of Margot. How do you reconcile those principles, the law of attraction, attracts what, you know?
I'm so glad you asked that, because, well, number one, you know, I used to love, the mystery man I met in 82, I learned this technique, and ours is very unique because we use the power of recording, theta brainwave music sound.
Yeah.
But so I started this in 1982. I went from a alcoholic, runaway, drug addict, loser guy to a multimillionaire car dealer in San Francisco Bay. But guess what? You know what? I would teach this to my salespeople, but I kind of quit using it in my own life because my life was perfect, right? And so it wasn't until late in the game that, you know, I really introduced Margot to all this and tried to get her to do it. And I think I waited way too long. So I regret that, because I think we could have made a much bigger, I just did a video for our healing center in Columbia. And I said, listen, if I knew today, or 15 years ago, 20 years ago, what I know today, I really believe she'd still be alive, you know, and especially now, because, you know, my work, the creation frequency, is kind of a wham, bam, thank you, man version of law of attraction. But you got a guy like Dr. Joe Dispenza that's going so deep into this, the science behind it, the meditation practices. So I'm so grateful for this man and the work he's doing and what he's giving us, you know, and I really believe that if we can get coherent, left brain, right brain, heart, move from here and live here and get that coherent, we can enter the field of infinite possibilities, and we can have, he's proving it. People are having instantaneous healings in his workshops.
Oh God, he really is. And you nailed it. I mean, I had the blessing of interviewing Dr. Dispenza as well. And, you know, I mean, I'm the becoming supernatural, and it's woo woo stuff. It's all institute math studies and,
yes,
you know, brain, heart, brain coherence, and creating that.
Michelle, imagine this too. If you look at, you know, I don't know if this is a true story or not. It could be an illustration, but in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, it says God spoke this physical world into existence with spoken word. You know, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and it was good. And if you understand what Tesla taught, it's all energy, vibration, and frequency. That is the power. Everything is just a frequency. And the higher the frequency, and this is what Dr. Joe teaches a lot, you know, love and gratitude and compassion, the higher that energy of frequency, the better things you can attract, like health.
Oh, is that beautifully said? I mean, we are, you know, our human body, we are amazing. We are just amazing. And you know, when we are born into this world, we don't realize how amazing we as Homo sapiens are, and you know what we have with
us. You know why? Because we're not taught. We're brainwashed and programmed to believe something that doesn't serve us. What's the number one they teach, especially men? No feelings, don't feel. Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." Bullshit. Excuse me. I feel, therefore I am. The hardest journey we must all take, and we all take it at one point in our life, and most people take it in that last breath, is moving from this brainwashed program mind into our heart, which is our true self, our soul, our essence, our energy, our power, and then trusting our gut, which is now ruined by glyphosate. Okay, so there's a method to the madness that's creating the insanity in the world, and people are starting to wake up, thank God, and because this is I think we're at a crossroads in humanity right now, and we need to wake up.
Gosh, we really do. And those are absolutely universal signs, you know, and the COVID and the isolation and the struggles and, you know, personal issues, racism, and everything that's going on in this country is really, I think, a reflection of what the is.
Michelle, look at their mode of operation. It's divide and conquer. Black, white, Christian, Muslim, gay, straight. Now vax or unvaccinated. Okay. The divide. And here's the truth. When you suffer, I suffer. Whether I know it or not, we are all connected. There's one source of energy. There's one creator. We're all tapped into it. And if we unite, that power is so overwhelming. And so my thing now is, you know, I got angry about a year or two ago, and I tried to take that approach. That it's too late for that, okay? The guns aren't going to work. The anger's not. We need to raise consciousness. And how do we do that? We need to take the word love and turn it into a verb. What do I mean by that? There's 7.5 billion people in the world. We need to take someone less fortunate. If each of us, half of us would take someone less fortunate and lift them up, consciousness would arise, love would arise, and the evil would dissipate, and we'd get back to a level playing field.
Gosh, is that really true? You know, and I guess everybody has their own life's evolution, their own journeys that they have to learn from. So, you know, sometimes you and I found throughout our many years of working as teachers and speakers and, you know, therapeutic, hopefully inspirational leaders sometimes, but that there are just some people that are not ready, and that's fine, and love and allow, you know, and like you said, there's folks out there who, you know, the anger and the rage, and we all have to feel that, I think, in order to say, woo, it's like, who said, you know, having anger and hate towards others is like drinking poison yourself and expecting the other person to die. So
exactly. But St. Paul said, be angry, but sin not, because I think that anger will fuel us to take action.
Yes, it will. It really is.
And what makes me angry is the injustice of the world, the unfairness, you know, to the poor people, especially, and those that are less fortunate. And that's got to stop.
It sure does have to stop. And speaking about self-understanding and lessons, how did Margot's love to you and how she exemplified her faith help you understand your true self?
Well, you're going to love this and what you do for a living, but she told me once, she told me 1,000 times, Mike, you need to learn to be vulnerable. Okay. You need to be vulnerable. I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. You know what the day I became vulnerable is the day she took her last breath. And in that moment, I was so destroyed, so devastated that I had no choice but to be vulnerable because I was defenseless. And I feel in that moment as if my creator came into my heart, filleted it open, took out all the BS, all the arrogance, all the self-centeredness, and replaced it with love. And that was my new starting point. And it was difficult to go out into the world with this big, wide open, broken heart. My left brain was gone. I was all right brain and trying to make a difference in the world. And that took a while to get settled, but that's how it was.
Oh no, it's interesting how trauma and things that we have to process, which are really very difficult to process. The moment, like you said, that she took her last breath, it's that sometimes those are the messages from the universe that say, okay, ego, you know, hello, let's lose that, and not in a narcissistic sense at all. I mean, I'm just talking about the human ego of, you know, all of the things that when we come into this earth learning.
So, yes.
Yeah. So bless your heart. By the way, in case you just tuned in, guys, you're here on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. The latest book from Mike Murphy. It is fascinating. Living in Color. And it is a true love story. A love story of sickness and in health. About the journey he and his beautiful wife, Margot, took together in working through her disease. She suffered from breast cancer. She had about a 9-year
battle.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, she lived so long. She fought so hard that, she ended up, it spread to the lining of her brain or cerebral spinal fluid, similar to the actress, I forget her name now, but it's called leptomeningeal carcinomas. There's a, Taxi the girl was in, I think. And she had a similar disease, you know, because what happens is chemo is what causes the get through the blood brain barrier, right? And that's how it gets in the cerebral spinal fluid. So she had so much chemo, there was so much destruction to her immune system in her body that, you know, that probably did more damage in the end than the cancer.
Well, I hear you, you know, and they say, you know, if the cancer doesn't kill you, the chemo probably eventually will. So that's a real positive prognosis.
Exactly.
You learned a lot about living life to the fullest, and that's what your book, Living in Color, is about. So can you elaborate a little bit more on what you learned about? How can we live the life in our fullest ways?
Well, for one, okay, and I mentioned this earlier, but we got to move from here, this brainwash program thing. I call it an insane asylum, and we move here. Now, once we live here, now we use this magnificent supercomputer to create the life of our dreams. But if we're living here and we're not in touch with this, we're screwed. So that's number one. Number two, you know, you got to find your purpose. You got to find what you're passionate about. And let me tell you, the more it involves other people, the more it involves contribution, the more it involves love and gratitude, then the higher the purpose and the more fulfillment you're going to get. And that's what we're all looking for. We all want to fit here. We all want to be comfortable in our own skin and we want to be comfortable in the world. And to do that, I believe, find a purpose. And let me tell you something. I've made a lot of money in my life. That is not the answer, ladies and gentlemen. I've traveled all over the world. That is not the answer. Here is the answer: to move here, live here, get comfortable, get contentment, okay, and then find something that you can do that will serve others, and you will be blessed beyond your wildest dreams.
Boy, is that beautifully said. Thank you so much.
And by the way, let me add one thing. It's not easy either, ladies and gentlemen. But it's not easy, but it's worth it.
You know, it is. It's a journey, and it's opening up, and sometimes it takes a while to learn these lessons, and of course, the universe brings us experiences. To see how much we can handle. You know, they always say, God won't give you more than you can't handle. I don't know. How do you feel about that one? Is that true?
Well, here's my favorite one lately. And you know, 'cause I'm sure you hear this all the time. Hey, you chose to be here at this time. I go, wait a minute. I did, but if I did, I made a mistake. You know, and so there's so many philosophies, right? You know, there's 7.5 billion people. There's probably 7.5 billion different spiritual philosophies.
Sure.
What we're doing here and what we do afterwards. But I think the most important thing is to find peace and love and joy. What I hate about what's going on right now, look at this social distance. We're social animals. We belong together. They got a social distance. Then they got us wearing a mask. And then it's just everything that's not good for a human being is the protocol right now too.
Exactly.
It's insane.
But in your teachings, you know, if we can reverse that and say, this is an amazing lesson for all of us to realize how much we need that social interaction and love.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank God. And I'm going to tell you, I was kind of upset a few years ago about all this. And now I'm kind of excited because there's a major shift going on, okay, in the physical world, of course, but also in consciousness, in the unseen world. And I really believe that humanity is going to be, you know, as the Bible says, gnashing of the teeth. There's going to be a lot of pain and suffering. But I really believe at the end of this, more and more people are going to wake up and we're going to be able to usher heaven back on the earth and get rid of these things that are destroying us and create something beautiful here. And I don't think this is the first time this has happened in the history of humanity either. So it's an interesting time to be alive. That's for sure.
Boy, is it ever. It's beautiful. It's so true. Let's talk about some of your lessons that you found out and who you found out as influencers about the afterlife, or this is not all there is, and you know, Margot's spirit is still moving on and doing her thing. So can you talk?
It's unbelievable. And you know, and the other thing, the beautiful thing about waiting 10 years to publish this book, at the very end of the book, there's it's not even a chapter. I just put in closing, and I tell the last 10 years since she left her body, the profound, amazing experiences that I've had with her, that there's no explanation how these things could happen, right? And it just goes on and on and on and on. And so that is super, I'm probably, you know, I'm not sure I'm the only guy like this, but I can't wait to get out of this physical body and be free, right? But, and I said that once to Bruce Lipton, and he said, okay, I get it. I totally get it. But let me ask you a question. When you're not in body, can you taste chocolate? And he got me thinking, say, okay, I get it. Okay. In spirit, you know, you can't taste chocolate. You can't make love, you know? So there are some pluses to being in the physical world. So now I'm a lot more comfortable with that. And my philosophy is now do what I'm supposed to do as best I can every day. And when I go, I go. And then we'll see what happens then.
Right. Exactly. And from so beautifully said, Mike, thanks for that. By, you know, talking to and interviewing so many people who have been toe tagged.
Yes.
You know, the first thing they say is it's hard to orient yourself to not having a body and not, yeah, it's funny you said tasting the chocolate and not being able to feel the sex and the, but as you, you supposedly the soul growth, as you move on, you are open and available to all of these feelings and energies. Yep. It's just not with this in this, you know, house, you know.
I want to just share this with the audience real quick because it was so profound. 2 weeks after she passed and she died in our bedroom, and I walk in and I'm about 10 feet away from the, you know, the switch on the wall to turn the lights on. We have these big floodlights and they all go on. Okay. And I'm 10 feet away and I'm the only one there. And I feel her presence. It's so interesting that when you're, and they say a lot of, you know, when people first pass and they leave their body, because we're electrical beings, it's an electrical universe, so they can affect electricity. But a lot of TVs get affected.
Oh, yes.
And it's interesting when they're talking to you in spirit, you feel like they're in the room. You feel like it's audible, but it's, you know, obvious, probably just in your head. But she says with her spirit, her energy, her laughter, she says, you're not, and she was the best salesperson I ever met in my life. Wow. And as a car dealer, you know, we test them. So I gave her the test. First person to ever get a 10 that I'd ever seen. So anyway, she goes, you're not going to believe this, but they've allowed me to stay here and be your guide for the rest of your life. And so,
wow.
Yes, but there were stories before that, which I wrote about in my book Love Unfiltered about butterflies, and then beyond that, and I can't even tell you. I mean, I'm not going to go into it right now. I encourage people to buy the book just to read that last part. In fact, you can go to my Facebook page; it's on there for free. So, but there's so much more to this than we don't even have a clue. I just watched a guy yesterday about a 60 minute. He was dead for 90 minutes.
Yes.
Talking about the light going up, souls departing, the light coming down, souls entering, and how all the souls were pure white. And so, it's, you know, listen, just have faith and trust. And, you know, and like I said, if you get out of here, this is where all the fear lives and the ego lives. And this is where love lives and where you really live. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. Not to mention, you know, the famous, Dr. Evan Alexander, the neurosurgeon, who literally died and went to heaven and comes back and professes and speaks everywhere about, look, I'm a scientist. I'm a medical doctor.
Yes.
I didn't believe any of this woo-woo stuff, but I've been there and done that. So this is the real thing. I mean, you know, testimonies like that and hearing people who really respect, you know, Stephen Greer talked about how he, when he was an ER doctor, you know, Stephen Greer, right? Yep. He was a medical ER doctor. And he would say, he talks about when they would be working on a patient and they knew that the prognosis was bad and they didn't make it. He'd say, if you talk to doctors who are used to working, and he worked in the emergency room for about 10 years as an ER surgeon. He said, if you, you'll talk to doctors and you'll hear about this phenomenon when people pass, that a lot of the electrical systems are, there's lots of noise going on. They're flickering. There's lights are flickering. And he said, sometimes there's movement of things, you know, there's a lot of medical apparatus. And he said, there's chaos in the room because these people are not ready for this. But he said, there is an energetic, like you said, electromagnetic connection. Best they could do, I guess, crossing into, you know, the next place and coming, you know, trying to.
Michelle, you're probably familiar with this gentleman's work and his books. His name is Michael Newton. He wrote The Destiny of Souls and The Journey of Souls. Yes. And he's a hypnotherapist and he's regressing people back.
Yes.
And he gets stuck with this one lady and she's in between lifetimes. And the reason I bring this up, so every night through those last 6 months of Margot's life, we listened to those two books on tape. And they were such a comfort and so much valuable information. And then we were blessed the last week of her life to meet a man named Dale Borglum, who runs a program in Marin called the Living Dying Project. He was actually in India with Ram Dass and Maharaji. And him and Ram Dass came back and they started a dying clinic where people could go to die. And he came every day the last week of her life. And we were both blessed to learn so much about getting prepared to take that last breath. You know, Dale always says, hey, everybody's dying. We just don't know when. So get prepared. And once you face that and once you get comfortable with that, you are free. You know, I watched my mother pass and my father would not say goodbye to her. So she would not die. And so she's laying there in a coma for a week. Dad, I'm begging him. Dad, he go in and say, honey, you're getting better. We can play golf this weekend. She's on coma. And I go, Dad, you have to let her go. And as soon as he did, she was gone within 12 hours.
Wow. That's true. You know, you hear those stories. Wow. That's a great one about people and their will and hanging on. Until certain relatives or kids or people that they have unresolved issues with actually come. And that is making peace. Yes. You know, and all that. So, amen. So you talk about dying beautifully, you know, how Margot was so perfect in her allowing and just letting go.
Yes. And I got to tell you, the night before, it was just, she was so serene, so peaceful, so happy, so full of love. I mean, you know, her body was, you know, toast, you know. Yeah. Her spirit, her heart. And I'll never forget this, that her mother was there the last night. We were all there. We watched something, a trip we'd all taken together. And the way she hugged her mother that night, I just, you know, I sense. And then we wake up and I was woken by, I felt like five guys were hitting me with baseball bats. Yeah. I woke up, you know, early. And we had one last conversation, which frankly, I don't even recall that much of. And that was it. But she was so at peace. You know, it was a blessing.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you know, what you did for her to help her ease into that place is just wonderful.
Yeah, but she did so much more for me. There's a chapter in the or story in the book where, you know, I tell her early on, I mean, we're still dating. I say, you know, I would give my life for you. I mean, I said that within 3 or 4 months of dating. And the truth is, I think she gave her life for me.
That's incredible. Oh, my goodness. So do you believe in love at first sight?
Well, I wouldn't have said no before that. You know, I liken this to, you know, Plato talked about twin flames. And his teaching was, we're one soul cut in half. And we spend many lifetimes looking for the other half. And having had this experience, I really believe that in that, you know. So whatever that was, I mean, as hard as I can, all I can tell you is to this moment, I can remember that first eye-to-eye contact and that feeling, that smile, that energy, it will always be with me, whatever.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. I mean, that's beautifully said. In case you just tuned in, guys, you're on the couch here with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen, my special guest, Mike Murphy. He's a best-selling author of several books, and we're going to tell you how you can get a hold of them and find out more about his workshops and about his healing and how he's helped so many women with his you know, charitable organization that he's created. So here's the book. There you go, Living in Color. And it's Mike Murphy once again. Beautiful book, beautiful story. It will really move you.
That photo comes from 1221 Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica.
No way.
On the rooftop.
Oh my gosh. Listen, guys, if you know that, If you're a Cali person, you'll know what we're talking about. It's a love story in sickness and in health, and it's beautifully written. And it's not, you know, a lot of people, again, you know, they may pick this up and say, oh my God, this is going to be hard. It's good. Who have been caregivers or have lived with those beloved people in their life and seen them suffer. But it's really, there are some beautiful messages, very positive learning experiences that you teach and share in your book. And the way your story unravels is, it's riveting. It's a page turner. It's really wonderful. Something that we didn't talk about yet is the caregiver. Mm. So you, mm-hmm. as the caregiver, how did you experience that? How did you cope with being that person? And how do you fight that feeling of being lost because you were so connected, empathetic in her suffering and pain, and yet retaining your own individuality is keeping a cool head.
Yeah. You know, it's a difficult thing. For me, it was just, I mean, it's not something you think about, you know, here's someone needs you and you're there. Right. And so for the first 7-8 years, I mean, it was just, you know, it wasn't as intense. Those last 6 months, sure. I mean, we were together almost 24/7. I was blessed to have both of our parents were with us most of the time.
Wonderful.
And there's one scene in the book that I'll never forget. And this a few weeks before she passed, we had to rush her to the hospital and ambulance and all that. And we didn't have a doctor. We'd just gone from Palm Springs area to Northern California for her last days. Sure. And so here we are, and we rush to the hospital ambulance, and finally I get a doctor, and we got to wait a few hours. And he walks in, and he says, Margo, if I don't get this chemotherapy within 24 hours, you're dead. And I said, okay, doc, go get it. And for the first time in all this journey, in that hospital room was Margo, her sister, her parents, and me.
Yeah.
The only people that needed to be there. And I'll never forget this. Her mother, who's a Peruvian immigrant to America, very slight, beautiful woman, says, Margo, what is it you want from us for the rest of our lives? I'm going, Jesus. I mean, what a down, heavy question. If someone's just been told that if she doesn't get this medicine in 24 hours, she's dead. And I'll never forget, Margo, she sat up in that hospital bed like she was the chairman of the board of Chevron. And she was having a board meeting. And she just went right around the room and she told us.
Wow.
And I mean, all I did was cry probably for an hour. It just went on for an hour. I just cried.
Of course. So she told each one of her family members, of course, you. What did she say to you, Mike?
She said, continue to be a good man. And for the first 5 years after she left, I wore a band around my wrist that said, be a good man. And that's my mandate, right? So.
And how do you define that?
Well, to be a good person, there's a lot of variables, right? And believe me, I'm far from perfect. I mean, you know, I had a pretty crazy young life. So, you know, I still have some of those demons hanging around.
Sure.
But for me, I think, you know, the foundation, the Love for Margo Foundation just fell into my lap. A month after she was gone, a friend calls me up and says, hey, can you help me out with my sister-in-law, 38-year-old woman, moving from Wyoming to the Bay Area, stage 4 breast cancer, looking for better care. And he goes, can you take her to Margo's oncologist? I said, sure. And so I take, her name was Amanda, and I take her, and he orders some tests. I go with her. She's a minority. She's no money, no husband, you know, and so all this time she's treated differently than Margo was. So I felt very uncomfortable. Sure. Then we go back to the oncologist and she says, Amanda, to extend your life, the best protocol is these 3 chemotherapies simultaneously. Unfortunately, your insurance will only pay for one. That's all I can give you. And that just it blew my mind. So I said, hey, man, here's my credit card. You give her whatever she needs. And that became the Love for Margo Foundation. And for many 4 or 5 years, we gave financial grants to women below the poverty line while they battle cancer. And so, you know, so that's part of being a good man. And then, and then that was not sustainable. One, I was going broke. And two, you know, not a lot of people want to donate to help minority women dying of cancer. And so we switched gears. I started buying water purifiers and juicing machines and vegetables. But then they thought I was their doctor. And now I'm a car salesman. I go, well, this doesn't work. So now I'm in Medellin, Colombia. We're building, I believe, probably going to be the finest health retreat center in the world, what we're building there. And so hopefully, you know, I call it conscious capitalism. So we will charge people with money and then we'll take that money and we'll bring 2 or 3 women from the Love for Margo Foundation to come there for as long as they need really to heal.
Oh, that's beautiful. And tell me a little bit more about the Health Retreat Center that you're
creating. Yeah, so I bought a 20-acre farm in Medellin, Colombia, which is, when you land there, you're 7,000 feet in the Andes Mountains. It's the most beautiful country I've ever seen in my entire life. Wow. In our place, it's only a 3-hour flight from Miami and only a 10-minute drive once you land. And 20 acres, we grow our own vegetables. We have our own water. We're building a gymnasium. We're cold water plunge, jacuzzi, pool. We have a yoga studio. It's medically supervised juice detox while you're getting infusions of whatever you need, yes. Hydrocolon therapy. I mean, we have so many things that we do. Yes. Sacred plant medicine for those that want that. So there's so many, because here's the thing, you know, we are all different and we're all going to heal differently. And here's the thing I think is super important for people to realize, you know, they want to make us all victims. And so I say we're either all victims or none of us are victims. Pick your poison. It doesn't matter to me. But when you become a victim, guess what? You've lost your power. So I say, forget victimhood, right. Own your power, own the fact that you did something to create this in your life, and then you can create something better in your life, what you truly desire. So that's kind of our message to people. And then we work with the mind and we work with the emotions. I mean, we work with everything and it's medically supervised. We have great doctors. So super excited about this.
Oh, that's amazing. It sounds wonderful. And we're going to turn the, you know, viewers and listeners onto that to find out more about, you know, awesome. Your beautiful thing. Thank you so much. I mean, that's just thank amazing. So, yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realize, again, you know, we talked about their power and how strong they are and how we can overcome things, but also on the journey of understanding how we create things in our life. Right. I mean, that I think is the toughest thing. You know, I have a very close family member who's been undergoing, you and I discussed this earlier, chemotherapy for 7 years. Okay. And he says to me, he's very spiritual. That's why we connected, because we both started talking about the same thing. And when we first met, the first time we talked, it was just an instant connection. And he said to me, God, how did I create this? And why did I create this? I mean, okay, I got my lesson already. Okay, I needed to learn certain things. I'm done and over with this, but it still keeps hanging around.
Well, yeah.
That is everything.
Well, because I'm not sure the powers to be are being totally honest with us on this, what's really going on there and what the treatment really is. So as I dig deeper into this and I work with more and more people and I really study and talk to other doctors and cutting edge technologies, you know, think about it. I mean, Nixon declared war on cancer, you know, everything they declare a war on goes through the roof. Okay. War on drugs, war on cancer, war on terror, you know, I think we just need to question everything and take a deep dive and research, you know,
right. Which is, exactly.
The problem with the world today, it is so difficult to find the truth.
You know, it is. And you know, absolutely, you don't want to come off like a conspiracy theorist, right. But I mean, we really do have to look at everything, you know, that is sort of being pushed, no pun intended, our way. And I'm not talking necessarily about the inoculations and the, you know, third, that kind of thing. But I mean, there are a lot of things that we are told, you know, and again, I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist.
But you can talk about that we don't use real food. We don't use real seeds. We spray it with poison called Roundup glyphosate. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is going on. Okay.
Right.
So, but you'll never see that on the media. So what is going on?
Right. Exactly. It's, you know, it is preservation of economics, you know, with keeping our country running and, you know, that's true. It's everything we can do to manage the society and of course, profit from the large industrial, the millet. What was it? Was it Eisenhower that said, beware of the
military? It was Eisenhower.
There you go. Beware of the military complex.
Military industrial revolution, was it?
Right. Something like that. That's right. You know, beware and just sort of get a heads up that maybe there are other natural ways that we can help ourselves and understand what's going on, you know, and that's right.
I'll give you an example. So the reason we're doing this thing, I'm a pretty healthy guy, right? I follow a pretty good protocol. Yeah. But my heavy metals, lead, uranium, and one another, I can't remember, 300% above normal. Where is that coming from? Because it's in the air, it's in the water, it's in the food. We're all toxic. Okay, yeah. I promise you, everybody is full of glyphosate. I don't care who you are. So this is what we do at Mountains of Hope is we're going to detoxify the physical body. We're going to detoxify the insane asylum. And then we're going to clean up any emotional wounds. You know, Louise Hay says that almost every illness is attached to some emotional wound. So let's get it. And I know in Margot's case, that was definitely the case. I mean, if you read the book, we did an enormous amount of work about some issues in her life that needed to be cleaned up. And every time she'd clean an issue up, she'd get lighter. She'd get more love. I mean, it's amazing to see.
True. Right. You know, that's beautiful. I was just, of course, not coincidentally, I really was getting into my classes on EFT and emotionally focused therapy. And, you know, that is profound because it is exactly what you're saying. It's not necessarily a new therapy, but it's a derivative of so many different orientations. But basically, it's get in touch with your, you know, imprints of trauma.
Yes.
From the past messages you've received.
Yeah, you know this as well as anybody. And this is what I've been working on. You know, I grew up in an alcoholic home, and I'm looking at patterns in my life or behaviors in my life. Where does that come from? So I'm going back to that because what I've learned is that when you're doing that trauma, it gets wired into your nervous system.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So in my case, you know, I lived a very up and down, you know, family as a youngster, right? So that's embedded in me. So I have to look at that and say, well, how do I get more like this, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we become hypervigilant when we, you know, wake up every day and we don't know who, you know, we're getting from my parents.
Exactly.
Those messages are, well, they don't think enough about me or love me to stop drinking or stop using or, you know, and it's imprinted and we're egocentric as little ones. And it's just where these little souls going, okay, here I am, teach me. And whoa, these are heavy lessons, but it's about understanding, you know, the backstory, understanding and forgiving and compassion with those who've hurt us and especially ourselves. Love that which you are.
Amen.
And truly, you know, understand why we have maybe created these experiences and what we need to learn from them. But your book, again, folks, you got to pick this up. It's called Living in Color. It is a true love story. You know, I thought, wow, where did Mike get that picture? I want to get that. It's a real picture. It's a real thing, guys. This place right here.
Yeah, it was. I'll never forget it.
My God. A love story in sickness and in health. Riveting story, beautifully presented. A lot of teachings that you've heard about here on the couch, you know, with me. And, you know, Mike, you're such an evolved soul as well. I mean, you've done over 30 years of working with the law of attraction. And, you know, sharing your truth. So how can people find out more about you, the Mountains of Health, and also the Creation Frequency classes, picking up that book as well, and of course, getting Living in Color. What's the best
way? Well, of course, all my books are on Amazon, which is where all the books are. But I think if you want to learn more about the book, go to Love from Margot, margot.org. That's our nonprofit, but we have all the material about the book there. Me personally, it's mikemurphyunfiltered.com is all my stuff's there. And then our healing center in Medellin, Colombia is called Mountains of Hope, .com. And that translates Montañas de Esperanza. But here's the thing, people going through cancer, and you know this, Michelle, hope. And that's why we named it that. And so we all need hope right now, especially if you're looking at a severe illness. You know, hope is invaluable.
Is that beautifully said? And thank you so much for that, Mike. And that's what Living in Color is all about, you know, sharing those experiences of love and hope and, you know, really understanding what it's all about. Thank you. It's so nice to see you again. It's been a while.
You look beautiful as always. I showed your picture to my wife this morning, and we have a beautiful friend here.
Yeah.
A super beautiful friend. She says, she looks just like her. So,
you're
a beautiful woman, so congratulations.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, many blessings to you, and thank you so much, Mike, again, for all you do. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Michelle.
Take care. Bye. All right, guys, thank you for being on the couch here. Wonderful interview, Mike Murphy, and we'll have some information for you as to how you can get the book. And, of course, check out the show again in the rerun if you missed some of the wonderful things that Mike had to say and teach and all that. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Have a good one, guys. Take good care. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.